Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we will continue in our series of studies, Why the Bible Was Written. And the reason which we wish to consider today is entitled, That We May Avoid the Mistakes of Others. We're covering just seven of these reasons why the Bible was written in this broadcast. And in this broadcast of this series, rather. And I think there are probably more reasons, but these reasons are all stated in the Scripture themselves. Now, we're going to read in the first epistle to Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 11 to 15. If you have your Bibles near at hand, you may wish to follow us. We read there, Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. The Apostle Paul has just concluded the failures of the children of Israel. And then he explains what he's going to get after. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh that he standeth take heed lest he fall. Those Israelites fell. Now I'm giving you their failures so you won't fall. And then we read, There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. And idolatry is putting anything else in God's place. I speak as the wise men, judge ye what I say. Now on the broadcast today, we have selected three men from the Scriptures to illustrate this point. God has preserved their stories. You wouldn't think that they would be in the Bible. You wouldn't think that God would permit them to be in the Bible. They're so glaring in their failure, and you wouldn't think that God's people would fail like this, but there was a reason that God preserved the stories. He wants us to be warned so that we will not fall in the same pitfalls. And the first person that we want to take up in the story today is the story of Job. Job was a very godly man. He was exceedingly rich. He had seven sons and three daughters. And Satan came into the presence of the Lord one day, and the Lord asked Satan, Have you ever considered my servant Job, how godly he is? And Satan says he has a reason to. You've blessed him, and you've given him so much, but you take away what you've given him, and he'll curse you to your face. The Lord says, All right, you can put your hand out against him, but spare his life. Well, the day came when a tornado swept over the house of the seven sons and three daughters who were there having a wonderful time and killed them all. And the Sabaeans came and took away all the sheep. And the camels were taken away. The asses were taken away. Everything was taken away. And Job's wife taunted him. She said, Now, why don't you curse the Lord and get this thing over with? And Job said, Blessed is the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't say the Lord at all. But there was another day when Satan came, and God says, Have you considered my servant Job? And he said, Yes. And he said, Now, he blessed me. Satan said, You put your hand out and touch his health, and he'll curse you to the face. And you know, the Lord let Job again bring him into difficulty. He let Job bring boils, and his body was covered with boils. Remember now, he's a man that is indeed an ailing man, and he's a poverty-stricken man. Everything has been taken away. He has nothing now. But we read later in the writings of Job that Job cursed the day of his birth. He didn't curse the Lord, but he cursed the day of his birth. And Job was such a proud man, even yet his friends tried to convince him that he'd sinned against the Lord and that the Lord had a right to do this. Job would not give up his righteousness. He says, I haven't sinned. Finally, the Lord comes onto the scene, and he talks with Job, and he explains to Job all the wonderful things that the Lord is and what he has done. And you know, Job had never seen the Lord in that light. He had never had a personal dealing with the Lord like this. And the Lord showed him how great he was. And then Job decided how little he was, and he repented, and the Lord restored him back to his riches. Now, there's another story that we must tell about, and that's the story of David. In 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verses 1 to 6, I believe I'll read those from the scriptures. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time of the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Job, his commander-in-chief, and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba, but David tarried still in Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "This is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Eliam. David sent messengers and took her, and she came into him, and he lay with her, and she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned to her house, and the woman conceived, and sent and told David, I'm with child. David sent to Joab and said, send me Uriah the Hittite. That was her husband. And Joab sent Uriah to David, and when Uriah was come unto David, David demanded of him how Joab and the armies did, how the people did, and how the war prospered. And then David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. Uriah didn't go home. This is a subterfuge. David wanted Uriah to go home and to have relations with his wife and think the baby was his. It didn't work. God saw through the whole thing. Oh, this is the saddest story in the history of the Old Testament. I almost weep when I read this story. But David later confessed his sin to the Lord. His soul was so dried up he couldn't take it. So he confessed his sin to the Lord, and you know, the Lord forgave him. He forgave him that awful, awful sin. But there's a sequel to the story. Uriah, the husband, what about him now? David sent and had him killed in the camp of the enemy. David was guilty of two things, adultery, murder. And you know, that was an awful sin, but God forgave them. And God, first of all, after he had the first son that was born to them died. And three other of David's sons died. David took one man's life, and he lost four of his sons. That reminds us, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man prospereth, that shall he also reap. David reaped. Now this is all recorded for our admonition. All right, let's take this story of Solomon. Solomon's experience with the Lord was at the beginning of his reign. The Lord appeared to Solomon at the beginning of Solomon's reign, and he said to him, ask what I shall give you. Now that was a blank check. And Solomon said, oh, I need wisdom. Give me wisdom that I may rule this so great a people as thy people. The Lord was pleased that he asked wisdom. And now he says, since you've not asked for long life, for riches, or the lives of your enemies, I give them to you as well as the wisdom. And Solomon was the wisest man on earth. He built the temple. He But he, Solomon's fame was all over the world. The Queen of Sheba came up just to hear his wisdom all the way from Ethiopia, Sheba, and that was down near Ethiopia. And she didn't fly on a jet either. She came all that distance to hear his wisdom. Now, we have a sad, sad sequel. And that sequel is this. And it's recorded in 1 Kings 11, 3 and 4, verses 3 and 4. And Solomon had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after their gods, other gods, and his heart was not perfect for the Lord, his God, as was the heart of David his father. And Solomon died, and when he died, by reason of all of this, his kingdom was divided, and there was a civil war in Israel. Oh, the sad case of Solomon. After building that magnificent temple, after all his wisdom, he let his wives turn away his heart from the Lord. He built it all, first of all, idols to their gods, to make them feel at home. I don't know. But he built those idols for those ladies. Ladies, I say, well, I'll let you judge. But they turned his heart away from the Lord. Now, please remember what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now, all these things happened unto them for ensamples, examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. I'll tell you, God doesn't want us to sin, and he preserved these things in the scriptures. And people, I suppose the atheists and those that are aligned against God, says, look what he puts up with, look what he allowed, and look what he records. It isn't even good reading. Yes, it is good reading. God did it for a purpose. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And God uses these examples of failure so that you and I will not fall into the same traps they were in. We could say so much about them and say about the traps as well, but we just have not the time. The time is running out on this particular broadcast, and we just can't do it. But remember, please, this is one of the reasons why the Bible was written, that we might avoid the mistakes of others down through the ages. Be careful about sin. Don't sin against the Lord, Christian brother, Christian sister. Our Father, we pray that this lesson that we've had today, these scriptures, will not be lost upon us, that we shall be on guard, and we will not sin against the one who died for our sins. Help us to please him. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.